All right, good evening, everyone. Let's begin. Sorry for the little bit of delay. So we're going to focus tonight a little bit on Parshas Bichukosai. So Parshas Bichukosai, as we're going to see, is fascinating for a variety of reasons, but let's take a look at number one. The Torah says, "In Bichukosai telechu, ves mitzosai tishmoru va'asisem osam." So literally, if you walk in my ways and you keep my mitzvos, and you shall perform them. So the Torah says, "V'nasati gishmechem b'itam," I will give you the rains in the right time. "V'nasna ha'aretz yivula ve'itza sodei yitain piryo," I will give your rains in their time. The land will yield its produce. "V'hisig lochem da'ish es batzir ubatzir yasig es zara," and literally, your threshing will last until the vintage. The vintage will last until the sowing. "V'achaltem lachmachem l'sova," you will eat your bread to satiety. "V'yivshaftem lavetach ba'artzichem." Base Medrash, thank you. And you will go ahead and do live in security in your land. So okay, so the pasuk at first glance appears to be quite straightforward. Torah is simply telling me that the central message is, if you listen to the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything works out okay. Listen to God's mitzvos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward you with all types of material blessings, and some way, somehow, life is going to be good. Fine. Pretty straightforward. Now, interestingly enough, what's quite striking about these psukim is that the Torah links religious performance with material bounty. The Shbaruch Hu literally says, if you go ahead and keep my mitzvos, you listen to my chukos, to my chukim, to my mishpatim, then ultimately you'll get rain, you'll get grain, you'll get everything you want. Beautiful idea. What's the take-home message of the parasha? What's the take-home message of this section? Right? Do good, get good, right? Do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of you. Go ahead and do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of you. And at the end of the day, things will work out well for you. A beautiful, magnificent message. Listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to the mitzvos. And some way, somehow, everything will fall exactly into place. Okay? Now, of course, you understand, the logical extension of this idea is that the primary motivation for service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reward. Because the Torah is clearly telling me that if I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the right way, if I listen to the mitzvos, I will be rewarded in incredible ways. But yet we look in number two, and the Mishnah Maseches Avos says, "Antigonus ish socho ki bel mishimen atzadik." Yet we know Antigonus, who was from the city of Socho, received the following tradition from Shimon HaTzadik. What was the tradition? Hu haya omer, "Al tihiyu ka'avadim hamishamshin es harav al menas lekabel pras." Do not be like servants who worship the master for the sake of receiving reward. Elo havu ka'avodim hamishamshin asarav shelo amanas lekabel pras. But rather be like servants who serve the master not for the sake of receiving reward. V'mora shamayim aleichem. And the fear of heaven, the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be upon you. So now you understand the obvious question. What's the obvious question? Right? Oh, so there seems to be that Antigonus is contradicting the Torah. The Ribbono Shel Olam himself says, "In b'chukosai telechu, in mitzvosai tishmoru," if you keep my mitzvos, I'll reward you. Which seems to me that God is creating the model. God is creating an incentivized Judaism. An incentivized Judaism says, keep the mitzvos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower material bounty upon you. Yet Antigonus is coming along and saying, no, when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't think about the reward. Don't be like a servant who serves the master for the sake of receiving reward. Rather, be like the servant who serves the master not for the sake of receiving reward. But again, Antigonus, if you are correct, and we are not supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the sake of receiving reward, then what? Then what? Then why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu include reward in his Torah? And by the way, this parsha is only one example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu discussing the concept of reward in relation to mitzvos. It occurs many times in the Torah. But again, this idea specifically, this is perhaps one of the most dramatic examples of this. This is in b'chukosai telechu. If you listen to my mitzvos, if you do what I ask you to do, then I'll reward you. So how do we reconcile these two ideas? On one hand, again, the Torah seemingly telling us that at the end of the day, if you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will get rewarded. And yet Antigone is telling us, don't worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the sake of receiving rewards. You have to understand, this question was very dramatic to me because this is like a major inyan in Hashkafa. This is a major inyan, this is a major topic in terms of one's outlook in Judaism, on Judaism. In terms of how do we view reward in the context of our religious service. So I want to share with you a couple of different approaches. Take a look at number 3. The Arach Chaim HaKadosh writes the following. He says, Oji Omar, Litzat Sheschar Olam HaElyon Ruchni, Ve'im Yidudav Nitpasin Benirsham Velo Bedibor. Lazer Ramzu. So first of all, says the Arach Chaim HaKadosh, in reality, there's so much reward waiting for us in the world to come, but the reward, the schar in the world to come is so great and so bountiful that it can't even be captured or quantified in words. So this is a different discussion, by the way. Correct. That's what the Arach Chaim is saying. The Arach Chaim is saying the reason the Torah never discusses, forget about Schar, the Torah never discusses Olam Haba in general. So why doesn't the Torah ever discuss it? The Arach Chaim says, because Olam Haba is such a magnanimous concept. The reward that awaits us in Olam Haba is so great that it defies verbal expression. Or it defies verbal description. You can't describe what Olam Haba is, you can't describe what the reward in Olam Haba is, and therefore the Torah doesn't make mention of it, because even the Torah Kedosha, even the beautiful Torah, can't capture the essence of Olam Haba in words. So watch this. He says, therefore, Lazer Ramzu B'mash Shehosef Vav B'tchilas in Yolomar Kiyesh Schar Acher Umosif Od Liten Gishmechem. So listen to what the Arach Chaim HaKadosh does. This is amazing. Go back to number 1 for just a moment. So look at the pasuk. Im b'chuko saiti lechu, v'etz miso saiti shmoro, v'asisem osam. If you will listen, right? If you walk in my ways, listen to my mitzvos, perform them, v'nasati gishmechem be'itam. Now what does it mean, v'nasati? And I will. Now in biblical Hebrew, that vav is called the vav hamosif, which means that vav is coming to go ahead and include something additional. So what is the vav adding on to? The Arach Chaim suggests that there's like a parenthesis in the Torah. Listen to my mitzvos. So really what the Torah says in the unspoken words is, there is bountiful reward waiting for you in the world to come. And that reward is so great that it can't even be verbally quantified in the Torah. But Vinasati gishmechem bi'itam. There's another piece. The other piece ultimately is what? That in addition to the schar that's waiting for you in Olam Haba, I will also give you rains. I'll also give you wheat. I'll also give you all of these other blessings as well. So the Arach Chaim understands that vinasati means, in addition to the primary schar, which is in Olam Haba, in addition to that, I'll also give you material reward in this world as well. So go back to number 3. It says, Lazer Ramzu, B'masha Hosef Vav, B'tchilas in Yalomar, Kiyesh Schar Acher. So this ultimately tells us, the Vav tells us that there's an additional schar. What's the additional schar? Umosif Odlitain Gishmechem, V'dikdik Lomar Gishmechem, Kilu Hishalachem, Lo Ba'at Schar Mitzosumasim Tovim, Ela, Letzat Shein Ma'amide Olam Be'isek HaTorah. So listen to what Arach Chaim says. Arach Chaim teaches us 2 primary concepts. Number 1, the idea, according to the Arach Chaim, is that here is a veiled allusion, a veiled hint to Olam Haba. So where is the veiled hint to Olam Haba? It's the Vav. Amazing how the Torah is so nuanced. Vinasati gishmechem bi'itam, and I will give you rain, and I will give you rain. In addition to the beautiful reward that you will find in the world to come, I will also give you rain. But says the Arach Chaim, the rain and the wheat and the cattle and the livestock, that's not reward, says the Arach Chaim HaKadosh. If it's not reward, then what is it? And here the Arach Chaim HaKadosh says 2 things. He says, Ella, look at the last 2 lines. Ella, Litzad Shehem Ma'amide Olam Be'isek HaTorah Zochem B'Shalahem. So the Arach Chaim essentially explains the following. What does it mean when the Torah says that if you follow in my ways, I'll give you rain, and I'll give you cattle, I'll give you livestock, I'll give you wine? What is that? So the first thing Arach Chaim HaKadosh says is that's what's called cause and effect. Cause and effect. What does it mean cause and effect? That the Ribono Shel Olam programmed the world to work in a particular way. And the way the world works is, if you follow the word of God, the world responds to you in a particular way. If you follow the direction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world responds to you in a particular way. So therefore God says, if you do all of these things, then it's not reward, but rather, again, ultimately, it's a cause and effect. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us, you act one way, the world acts towards you in the same way. But then it's another piece that Aruch HaKadosh brings down, which is, then what's the point of reward? Or I should say, what's the point of these rains? What's the point of these material blessings? So the Aruch HaKadosh says, these material blessings become the enabler for future growth. Meaning, it's an interesting question. From a Judaic perspective, right, from a Hashkafic perspective, is one permitted to daven to be wealthy? What would you say? No. Can you daven to be wealthy?
Yeah.
It's a 50-50, right? The answer is it depends. What does it depend on? It depends why you're asking for wealth. So if a person is asking for wealth because I want to buy this, I want to buy that, if my wealth is self-serving, then usually it's not good to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for brachas that are just self-serving. But if at the end of the day, my wealth is the enabler for my growth, which, you know, the bracha of wealth is, if a person doesn't have to worry about their bills, a person doesn't have to worry about their money, and a person could focus on spiritual things, a person could focus on chesed, a person could focus on tzedakah, that's huge. That's huge. Says the Aruch HaKadosh something absolutely amazing. Do you know why there's a correlation between Imbuchu Gosai Teilechu and between Venasati Gishmechem Be'itam, following the mitzvos and physical and material bounty? You know why there's a connection? Because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially says to us, if you choose the right things in life, I will give you the necessary blessings to enable you to continue to go down that path. I'm not giving you simply reward. I'm not giving you simply schar. What I'm giving you is the tools to enable you to continue to do the very beautiful and holy things you've decided you want to do. Take a look at number four. In fact, the Gemara says something amazing. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Da'amar, schar mitzvah b'hai al maleka. Rabbi Yaakov has the dramatic opinion that he says that there is no reward for mitzvos in this world. The Gemara goes on to say, how can you say there's no reward for mitzvos in this world? After all, again, the Torah discusses reward for mitzvos, to which here Rabbi Yaakov says, every time the Torah discusses reward, the Torah actually is always referring to reward in the world to come. But even if we take it, understand in the light of the Aruch HaKadosh, what Rabbi Yaakov says that there's no schar for mitzvos in this world, what that means is, there's no reward for mitzvos in this world, but there's absolutely material gain for mitzvos in this world. Meaning that there's a concept that if I do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks me to do, there will be material benefits from that. But why is there material benefit? Is that material benefit called reward? No, the material benefit, what is it called? It's called the tool to enable me to continue forward. That it's just like, meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what it is that I want to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what it is that I want to accomplish, God sees what it is that I want to make of my life, and I've made the right decisions, and I continue to make the right decisions, God says, okay, let me give you the tools to enable you to continue to make the right decision. In fact, take a look at number five. The Gemara Maseches Makkos says, Amar Afunu Amar Belazar, Min HaTorah Min Aviyam Yaksuvim, Bederech She'adam Rotze Leilech, Moli Chinoso. I think this is perhaps one of the most important phrases we have in Chazal. The path that you want to take in life, that is the path ultimately that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes you down. That's the Gemara saying over. Derech she'adam rotze leilech, moli chinoso. What does it mean, derech she'adam rotze leilech? So first of all, the Ramban quotes this by Paro. The idea is, the Ribono Shel Olam does not tell us what to do. You know, Levi Yitzchak Berdichev quotes this concept. He says, quotes the pasuk, "V'chol yisyu b'gadecha levanim." Shlomo Melech says, "At all times, your clothing should always be white." Right? The person should always be in a state of preparedness. So the Levi Yitzchak says something amazing. He says, "You know what happens? Every single day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers down shefa. Every single day, God sends down divine energy." Now, here's the amazing part: that divine energy, it's parif. It's not milchik. It's not tleishik. It's not tummy. It's not tar. It's not kosher. It's shatrei. It's parif. So what you do with that energy depends on the state you are in when you receive that energy. So meaning, if I'm in a state of Kiddusha and Tara, and I receive that Shef, I receive that energy, so that energy gives me the koach to go on to continue to do great things. But if at the end of the day, I receive that energy, and I'm in a state of sin, or I'm in a state of spiritual disrepair, so that energy gives me the energy to continue to do bad things as well. That's the Rebbe's meaning. Bederech she'adam rotzei leilech molichin oso. Whatever choice you make in life, that Klutz Baruch was going to say, this is what you choose, I'm going to help you. You know, parents do this all the time, right? We try to gear our children to make the right decisions, but at some point in time when our kids are set on their way, say, okay, look, you want my blessing, you have my blessing. Hatzlach, I'm not happy with you, but if this is what you're choosing, you'll have to do it. You know, hopefully you'll be okay. So says the Gemara, Klutz Baruch doesn't tell us what to do. He gives us instructions. He gives us not even such nuanced, pretty explicit instructions. He said, I hope you'll follow it, but if not, you're going to do what you're going to do, and I'll give you the tools to do whatever you want to do in life. So if we bring this full circle, now you understand what's happening over here. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Im b'chuko seitechem esai tishmoru, v'nasati gishmeichem b'itam. The Torah is not talking about reward. This is not, because again, schar mitzvah b'hai al-malekah, this is not reward. But it's material blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking about over here in the parasha. So what's the answer? It's not blessings. It's not reward. Rather, what is it? It's tools to enable me to continue to do the right thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you listen to my Torah, you know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you material wealth. Why? So strange, right? If it's not a blessing, so why don't you say you're going to give me a bigger neshama? Or you're going to give me a better mind to retain the wonderful Wednesday night shiur? You know what? Why sheep and goats and cattle? Because what's the answer? Because again, if a person is comfortable materially, if a person has money in the bank, if a person lives in a nice house, a person lives a nice life, person is comfortable with everything materially, then at the end of the day, that opens their mind, it opens their heart to the ability to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it doesn't mean that if you don't have those things, you don't have to serve God. You have to serve God no matter what. But at the end of the day, says the Gemara, says the Aruch Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not promising us reward. He's giving us the tools to enable us to continue down the path we have chosen. And in fact, if you look at Rashi, in number 6, Rashi HaKadosh says something very beautiful. It says, if you skip down to the third line, Rashi says, what does it mean to keep the mitzvahs? Rashi says, Havu amelim batorah. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us is to be amelim batorah. Now, how would you literally translate that? Amelim? Amel? To toil. So again, when we think about amelos batorah, we think about, that's about how many hours you spend in the base medrash. That amount, that's about how many hours you spend learning. Says the Rashi, no. You know what amelos means? Amelos means that I'm steeped in a certain lifestyle. That I'm steeped in a certain approach to life. Shetiyu havu amele matorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I've said this many times. You know what our greatest problem with God is? Our greatest problem is we have commitment issues. Right? We say, Ribono shel olam, I love you very much. I know you love me, but I think we should see other people. I'm not quite ready to settle down yet. I'm not really like a one God guy. You know, I kind of want to see exactly what's out there. I love you, you love me. Klutz Baruch Hu says, well, if you're not going to commit, I can't give you the tools to enable you to grow. But if you fulfill es misosai tishmoru, if you're amelim batorah, if you're steeped, if you are committed, then benasati gishmechem biitam. I'll give you the tools to be successful. Why? Because bederech she'adam rotzei leilech molichin oso. Because the path you choose in life is the path that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help you down. And this is amazing. Because if we're honest with ourselves, what the Arachim Rashi are teaching us is, sometimes the greatest religious and spiritual challenges we have are because we're not fully committed. It's because we're not amel batorah. Because I'm dabbling in it, I'm pretty committed, but I'm not really ready to be fully vested and fully committed. But if I am fully committed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will give you the tools to be successful. Now, of course, the caveat is, we'll see the caveat a little bit later, sometimes those tools are wealth, sometimes those tools are emotional or spiritual fortitude. However the promise manifests itself, the promise is always the same, which is, once you choose your path, I will give you the tools to enable you to be successful. So that's the first approach. And therefore, again, using this approach, you understand that Antigonus is not contradicting the Torah. Because Antigonus says, don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu to simply serve reward, because what God is promising us in Bechukosai is not reward. God is not promising us reward. God is promising us, ultimately again, the tools to enable us to continue down the path of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look at number 7. The Rambam. The Rambam writes spelling. He says, Pras, so it's interesting. So what the Rambam picks up on, the Rambam is commenting on the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. So Antigonus says, Al tiyu ka'avodim ha-mishamshin es-harav al-menas l'kabel pras. So what the Rambam is picking up on is, why does Antigonus use the word pras as opposed to schar? So remember, they both kind of translate the same way. Pras is a reward, schar is a reward. So why does Antigonus use one word over the other? Let's look what he writes. He says, pras yikra ha-gimul asher yigmal ha-adam mishenu chayev lo bedin. So the Rambam writes, pras is something you give to someone not because they deserve it or they've earned it, but because you want to. Eliyah says, Ze al tercha aderecha chesed v'hatova kami sheyomer la'avdo o libno akaton o liishto asikach v'atim lucha dinar shnayim v'zehu hevdo bein pras v'schar ki aschar chayovin bo bedin. This is very interesting. So Rambam writes, schar is something you are entitled to. So I went ahead and I worked, I put in a day's work, I get paid at a certain rate, I am entitled to schar. I'm entitled ultimately again to my earnings from my particular job. Pras is something different. Pras ultimately again is a gift. It's a gift. Not an entitlement, but ultimately a gift. Look at number 8. Writes Rabbi Lau in his Sefer Yachal Yisrael, Bekach Romeis Hatana, Ki es yachsus letagmul shal asiyas hamitzos b'schar, v'lo kipras, psula betachlus. Mutil etzapos lekabal schar, ach astro lishanos v'machshava kilu magiali, chayovim li, haftochas HaKadosh Baruch Hu litin gmul ala mitzos, ki begeder chesed, ve'eino zuchus hamagia badim. So listen to this. Says Ram something amazing. So what is Antigonus coming to teach us? Antigonus is saying, So Antigonus says like this. Do not be like, Antigonus says like this. The truth is, you shouldn't serve God for any kind of reward. One should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu for some higher purpose, for some higher ideal. But if you're going to have in the back of your mind that you're going to get something from it, at least remember that what? At least remember that it's pras and not schar. At least remember that it's a gift and it's not magiali. We know one of the most detrimental attitudes, and it's prevalent in our modern day society, is the magiali attitude. I'm owed something. I'm owed something. We call it today a society of entitlement. People think they're owed something. You know, the best way to live life is to live life realizing no one owes you anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't owe you anything. Your spouse doesn't owe you anything. Your mother doesn't owe you. No one owes you anything. Everything that people do for you is a chesed. When you begin to look at what people do for you as a chesed, as an act of kindness, as a pras, as opposed to a schar, as opposed to an entitlement, it dramatically changes the way you see the world and the way you perceive those who do good things for you in life. Therefore, says the Rambam, so amazing. Antigonus is saying we would all agree that the highest level of accomplishment, the pinnacle of spiritual accomplishment, is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to receive anything. I just serve because it's a privilege to serve the King of Kings. Done. But if I'm going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with some hope that I'm going to get something back, fine. As long as you always remember it's pras. As long as you always remember it's a gift and not schar, not an entitlement. And my friends, let me explain to you the beauty of this. When you live life in this way, every single thing you get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like you won the lottery. Like you won the lottery. You know, I saw a guy with a t-shirt the other day that said, today, the shirt said, like, today's to-do list for today. And it had, win the lottery, win the lottery, win the lottery, win the lottery. That was on his to-do list. If a person realizes that everything that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a gift, then every single moment of life you win the lottery. So you open your eyes, you get up in the morning and your eyes are working and your fingers are working and your legs are working and your mouth is working. And Baruch Hashem, for the most part, you're whole and you're okay. So that's not schar, that's pras. That's a gift. That's what Antigonus is saying. Appreciate what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. And if you go, don't serve Him for that purpose, but if you're going to serve Him with the hope of getting something, understand that it's not an entitlement, but rather it's a gift. And again, says the Rambam, that's the meaning of our Pesukim also. That's why number one, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Im b'chukosai teilechu, v'es misosai tishmoru, when God says, ultimately, again, if you keep my mitzvos, if you walk in my ways, I'll give you these blessings. Again, God is telling us, not because you deserve it, not because it's schar, not because it's some kind of entitlement, but rather why? Because I'm choosing to give you a gift. I, the Ribono Shel Olam, am choosing to give you pras. I'm choosing ultimately to give you a gift in life. And this finally brings us now to our last approach. Take a look at number 9. So it's a beautiful Gemara, Maseches Shana. The Gemara says, Va'atanya, ha'omer sela zu litzdaka b'shol sheyichyo b'ni. Let's say a person gives tzedakah with the intention, I'm giving this tzedakah in order that my son will live. Nebuch, a person has a sick child, I'm giving tzedakah on the condition that my child will live. Or ultimately, I'm giving tzedakah in order that I will merit the world to come. So the Gemara says, Hareizet tzadik gomer. But so I didn't include the first part of the Gemara. So the previous statement said, this is us. You can't do that. You can't do mitzvos on a condition. They can't do mitzvos with different conditions attached. But yet here the Gemara says, the person who does this, is it tzaddik or is absolutely righteous? To which the Gemara says, so which one is it? Is it problematic or is it righteous? To which the Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan be Yisrael, kan be Nachrim. When the Gemara said, you shouldn't do this, this was talking about the Gentile nations. But when the Gemara says, if you did this, you're a fully righteous person, that's talking about by the Jewish people. So what's the distinction between the nations of the world and the Jewish people? Take a look at Tosfos, just a moment, number 10. So Tosfos says, "V'hod disnan parakaman de meseches avos." Look what the Tosfos does, quotes our Mishnah. But yet the Mishnah says, "Al tiu kavodim hamishamshin es harav amenas lekabal pras." But yet again, Tosfos asks, how could the Gemara advocate giving tzedakah with the intention of receiving some type of future reward when the Mishnah itself says explicitly that one should not give tzedakah with the expectation of getting anything back? To which the Gemara says, one should not perform a mitzvah with the expectation of getting a reward. Hainu b'umo sa'olam shetohin al harishonos. The Gemara says, you know what the difference between a Jew and a Gentile is? Tosa suggests that for the Gentile, when he does a particular mitzvah, does a good deed, he expects something in return from God. And if he doesn't get it, then what's his reaction? If he doesn't get it, he regrets having spent the time and resources to perform that mitzvah. On the other hand, the Jew, even if the Jew does the mitzvah with a particular intention, a particular reason, and that particular reason doesn't materialize, the Jew never regrets doing a mitzvah. Interesting idea. Even if the Jew doesn't get what he or she originally wanted from the mitzvah, at the end of the day, the Jew never regrets the process. The Jew never forgets the effort that was put into that action. Let me show you something amazing. Take a look at number 11. The Gemara Maseches Kiddushin here writes, Amar lahem tzu'u u'ru'u ma'asa obed kochavim echad ba'ashlom dam menesina shmo. The Gemara talks about a story. The Gemara actually over here in Maseches Kiddushin is talking about the power of the mitzvah of kibud av va'em, of honoring parents. So the Gemara gives an example of someone who honored his parents. And interestingly enough, the paradigmatic example of kibud av va'em was not a Jew, but rather again was a Gentile. A man by the name of Dama ben Nesina. What happened to Dama Nesina? Pam achas bikshu chacham pragmatia b'shishin revo schar. One time the rabbis came to Dama ben Nesina and they wanted to buy pragmatia. Pragmatia literally means merchandise. Rashi points out that Dama ben Nesina had certain precious stones that the rabbis needed for the choshen, for the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. So they wanted to buy it from him with incredible amount of money. So what happens? So Dama ben Nesina, the key to the safe was underneath his father's pillow, and his father was sleeping. He didn't want to wake up his father, even though, again, there was so much money riding on this. He wouldn't wake up his father. So the Gemara says, here you see what? Here you see the incredible lengths that Dama ben Nesina went to for kibud av va'em, to honor his father, even though there was so much money there, so much money on the line, he wouldn't wake up his father. If you skip down a little bit, skip to the last few lines. L'shana acheres, the next year, Nasana Kadosh Baruch Hu Scharo. God gave Dama ben Nesina his reward for honoring his father. What was the reward? Shenol dolo para aduma be'edro. Amazingly enough, what happened? A para aduma, a red heifer, was born into the flock of Dama ben Nisina. I understand the red heifer fetches a lot of money. Nichnisu chachmei Yisrael etzlo. So the chachamim came to purchase the red heifer. Amar lahem. So Dama ben Nisina said to them, Yodehani, bachem, shimani mevakish mikem komamun sheba olam atem nosnimli. So Dama ben Nisina said, listen, I know I can ask from you any amount of money. And I know that some way, somehow, you'll come up with it. Because after all, this is a para aduma. This is pretty chashev item. I know whatever I ask you to pay me for it, you're going to give me. But look what he writes. However, Elo ein ani mevakesh mikem elo oso mamon shefsarati bichvod abba. But rather, what does Dama ben Nisina say? But I'm only going to ask you for the amount of money. Now listen to these words. Shefsarati bishvil kavod abba. What does it mean, shefsarati bishvil kavod abba? That I lost through honoring my father. What's very telling about that statement? Right. So Dama ben Nisina looked at the lost deal. Looked at, meaning, let's go back. Let's rewind a little bit. So the rabbis are there. They want to buy the precious stones for the Choshen. Dama ben Nisina says, no, what could I do? My father's sleeping. The key's on this. I can't wake him up. The rabbis say, sorry, okay, we have to go. How did Dama ben Nisina feel in that moment? How did he feel? I lost something. Here, I was honoring my father, but I lost something. Okay, I did my best, but I lost something significant. So when the rabbis come back the next year, Dama ben Nisina says, you know what? I just like to make up that which I lost from the mitzvah I observed last year. That's what you lost, Dama ben Nisina. You didn't lose anything. You didn't lose anything. You gained the whole world by giving up so much to honor your father. This is what Tosfos is saying. There's between the Gentile mentality and the Jewish mentality is, says Tosfos, that when the Jew does something, we all do things for different purposes. When the Jew does a particular mitzvah for a particular purpose, and that purpose does not materialize, the Jew doesn't regret the effort, the energy, or the resources expended. It's true. I didn't get what I originally wanted, but the action, the endeavor, was not for naught. Tosfos says, by the nations of the world, often, if they don't get the result they had anticipated, and the entire reason they expended the effort was to get the particular result, if that result doesn't materialize by the nations of the world, they often regret ever having put in the effort. Dama ben Nisina says, Dad, I'm so happy I got to honor you, but look how much I lost. You know, Chaim Shmulevitz writes about this piece, he says, lost. You didn't lose anything, Dama ben Nisina. You gained so much more because of your Mesiras Nefesh, because ultimately, again, of your willingness to sacrifice for the mitzvah of Kibud Av Ve'em. Look at number 12. Writes Rabbi Lau something beautiful over here. He says, B'sefer Niflam Ma'asecha Shal HaBen Ishchai. And the beautiful Sefer of the Ben Ishchai tells a story here. It's a very cute story. He says, So he says like this. We'll look at part of it. He says, he quotes over here from Yosef Chaim Baghdad, the Ben Ishchai, who says, Misapra al Yehudi Yishmo Tuvia, Shechai b'medinas muslamit, v'chi imba kishof et ha'olyo. So the Ben Ishchai tells a story. It's not like a mashal. It's a real story of an individual by the name of Tuvia, who lived in one of the Muslim countries, and had become a high-ranking official, a high-ranking judge. Paragraph Beis. Amdosa habechira nosna biyado koach lashpa va'apiv masha kol davar. So what happens? Says you can imagine. Here's a Jew in a position of authority in a Muslim country, and his fellow countrymen are not happy with his newfound power. So what happens? They go ahead and they make up lies about him, that he's abusing his power, that he's stealing money, and as a result, ultimately he has to run away. Paragraph Gimel. Bederach minusaso, higia tovya lesvas na'arachav. So what happens? Tovya is running away, and he gets ultimately to a river. Leloev sharis latzoso, his damin l'sham nochri, shekir megadlos k'shovi. So listen to this. So Tovya gets to the river, and he can't cross, nobody crossed the river. See, he sees one of the young men that recognized him, and this man again knew him already from the time that Tuvia was a young judge, a rising star. So the Muslim says to Tuvia, what could I do to help you? To which Tuvia responds, listen, I have to get across the river. So what happens? So the man says to Tuvia, listen, I'm a strong swimmer. you'll get on my back and I'll take you across the river. So he says, are you sure? The individual says, of course I'm sure, I'm happy to. So what happens? Paragraph Dalit. Kisheskarbu lagadashnia hodulo tovyali olam lo eshkach lechazos hitzlachtes chayai. So listen to this. So he says, so Tovya says after they cross the other side of the river, so Tovya says, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Right? You saved my life. Amr la nochri birtsoni levak recha bekara ba'amon ha-melech. So the we'll call him the swimmer, says to Tovya, wonderful, I'm so happy, I'd like to come visit you in the palace. Meaning, if you'd like to reciprocate, I'd love to come visit you in the palace. To which Tovya responds, oh, you didn't hear? Right? Letzari lo achzer ola amon ha-melech. Ne'alatzti lebrach misha machmas alidashu. I'm running away from the palace. I've fallen out of favor with the king, with the advisors. I'll never be able to go back there again. So what happens? So ne'alatzti lebrach misha kach. So remember, this conversation is happening as they're swimming across the river. And as soon as the swimmer hears that Tovya is no longer in the palace, what did the swimmer do to Tovya? He threw him off his back. Says Rabbi Elah, what's the message here? Paragraph Hey. Zohi dugma kitzonit. Lo oved al minas lekabal pras. Avahi mamkisha hitev mahi avodas hanochri. Shetoa al rishon. So what was the message of the story? The message of the story is at the end of the day, when the swimmer offered his services, he did so why? He did so because he thought that there would be a payoff. Because he thought at the end of the day, there was something. So I'm willing to put in the investment. I'm willing to go ahead and help. As long as what? As long as I know that I'm going to get something in return. But at the end of the day, the moment that he saw that he wasn't getting anything in return, what's his reaction? Throw Tovya off his back. Says very loud, that's what the Gemara is saying. That's what's called Torah Al Rishonos. And what the Gemara is saying is that our approach to Avodas Hashem is the following. It is natural to go ahead. It is natural to go ahead and do things for a particular purpose. But what we have to work on ourselves for is that even when that purpose does not materialize, the actions, the efforts, the endeavors are not for naught. They are still meaningful. So what is the Torah teaching us? The Ribono Shel Olam is telling us that in reality, there is reward. There is a word for every single thing that we do. It's just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us to not be disappointed or to not regret our efforts just because we don't get everything we want. In other words, let's go back and forth a little bit. So what is Antigonus saying? Antigonus teaches us, Altsu kavodim hamishamshin esharav almanas lekabal pras. Do not be like servants who work for the master for the sake of receiving reward. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? You see, remember, going back for just a moment, when a servant puts in the effort, what's his expectation? That he's going to get paid, right? If I come to work, I punch in, I punch out, my expectation is I get paid. If, let's say again, let's play this out for a moment. I work for company X, and I go into work, and I put in a full day's work, and then I'm coming to collect my paycheck at the end of the day, and the boss tells me, I'm so sorry, we're bankrupt. I have no money for you. I truly apologize. What's my reaction? Right? Why did I do all that work? Right? Look, I'm sorry you're bankrupt, and I'm not even upset. I understand you're trying your best. I'm sorry you don't have any money. Hopefully you'll run into money one day. But it's more than that. I'm disappointed that I wasted my day. Right? If I wasn't going to get paid, I could have worked on my tan. Right? If I wasn't going to get paid, there are other ways I could have used my time. So it's not just that I'm disappointed that I'm not getting paid. I'm disappointed that I did it, that I wasted my time. Antigonus says, is there reward for mitzvos in this world? Is there reward? Yes. What's the proof to that? The proof to that is this week's parasha. God says, yes, there is reward. Now, is it reward? Is it entitlement? Is it a gift? We spoke about that before. But there is reward for mitzvos. But here's the tricky part. The tricky part is that sometimes the reward materializes as stated. Sometimes it doesn't materialize as stated. Sometimes it materializes for us. Sometimes it's for our children. Sometimes it's for our great-grandchildren. Sometimes it's just someone else. There's always reward. But often, that reward does not materialize the way I had hoped or expected it would. Says Antigonus, in those moments when the reward for your mitzvos does not materialize the way that you hoped it would, do not be like servants who go to work for the sake of getting paid. And then when they don't get paid, feel like they've wasted their time. Rather, Elo, heyu kavodim hamisham shnas harav, shalo amnas lekava pras. Rather, be like servants who serve the master. Why? Because they realize the value in the service itself. You see, if that same person spent their day, let's say again, they spent their day doing something that is an objective benefit, even if the paycheck didn't come, I'm upset that I didn't get paid, but at least I know I didn't waste my day. At least I know that at the end of the day, I did something productive. That's the message of Antigonus. The message of Antigonus is don't be the kind of person, meaning the fact that you want to get reward for your mitzvos, okay, I understand that. But if the reward doesn't come, don't be the kind of person who thinks that your efforts were in vain, your efforts are meaningless. Even if the reward does not come, the effort itself, what you did, is still meaningful and purposeful. And I'll show you something amazing. If you go to number 13, this always bothered me. Again, I'll give you the context here. I have one of these sheets. The context here is quite amazing. Remember again, so in number one, we spoke about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you keep my mitzvos, I'll give you incredible material reward. And the Torah goes through all the psukim, all the different types of reward. You're going to get rewarded with your grain, and with your wine, and with your livestock, and with all this different stuff. And then in number 13, God says something very interesting. V'nasati mishkani besochachem, I will place my dwelling place in your midst. V'lo sigal nafshi eschem, and my spirit will not reject you. V'salachti besochachem, I will walk within your midst. V'hayisi lachem le'lokim, I will be for you a God. V'atem tihiyu li la'am, and you will be for me a nation. You will be for me a nation. So what's bothersome about this? So it's not fair, I didn't give you the whole section, but what's very bothersome about these psukim is, it seems to be out of place. The whole parashas Bichukosai is all about what? It's all about material reward. So God says, if you listen to my mitzvos, and you keep all of my statutes, I'm going to give you A, B, C, D, and E. And then after God finishes listing all the material rewards, God says, oh, by the way, I'm going to make my dwelling place within you, I'm going to walk among you, I'm going to be for you a God. Why is this pasuk here? Now we understand it. Because listen to the flow of the parasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is there reward for mitzvos? Absolutely yes. But the trick is that sometimes in life, the way that that reward is, quote unquote, paid out, is often not in a clear way. We don't often understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu doles out schar, doles out reward. So sometimes it does come to me, sometimes it doesn't come to me. But lest you think that if you don't get the reward, what you've done is in vain, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? There is one thing you can be guaranteed of, and that's what? That if you do my mitzvos, if you listen to my Torah, one thing you will definitely emerge with is a relationship. You will emerge connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You will emerge with a relationship. That's what Baruch Hu was saying in number 13. Even if for some reason the rewards that I promised earlier don't materialize the way you hoped they would, V'nasati mishkani besochachem, my dwelling place will be among you. V'salachti besochachem, I'll walk among you. V'ayisi lachem le'lukim, I'll be for you a God. V'atem tuli la'am, meaning never for a second thing that just because you don't get what you wanted means that your actions and your endeavors were for naught. And I think this will end. I think this really gives us an incredible insight into the proper approach to Judaism. You know, sometimes we do things, we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or we daven, or we take on certain things because we want certain results. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with davening for a cholet, or davening extra kavana for a person to have a refuah shleima, or to take on something because I want to be successful in particular. Nothing wrong with those things. But how we react in those moments when the things that we want don't materialize is very telling about the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really the message of Parshas Bichukosai. Yes, we learn many different messages from this parsha. We learn the fact that according to the Ara Chaim, there's not really reward, but rather what's important in life is you have to choose a path. And once you choose a path and you're steep in that path, you're umble in that path, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the tools to be successful. We have to look at everything God gives us in life, not as an entitlement, but rather as a gift. But lastly, and perhaps the most important lesson, is to realize that sometimes we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we learn Torah, we do mitzvos, for the sake of receiving something. And there's nothing wrong with asking for things or even doing things for the sake of receiving something. But if we don't get that something, we have to keep our spiritual head held high. Because sometimes when we don't get what we want in life, we think that our efforts are for naught. We think that our endeavors are for naught. We think, oh, I just spent all of that time, all of those kochos, and what have I accomplished? And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us, yes, Antigonus tells us, it's true, don't go ahead and be like the employee who only works for the sake of receiving a paycheck. And if he doesn't get his paycheck, then he feels all of his efforts are in vain. Don't bring that model to your Judaism. Because in your Judaism, anything you do to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anything you do to uplift your people, even if you don't get the results you want, the effort is never in vain. Why? Because even if you don't get the sheep, and the wine, and the grain, and everything else, one thing you definitely get. V'nasati mishkani b'sochachem. You get an enhanced relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zalachti b'sochachem. You get to dwell with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yisi lachem le'elokim. And you get to really have a beautiful and intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even when those things that we wanted out of life don't materialize in the way we wanted, let us always recognize that everything we do on the spiritual level always has a beautiful result and is never in vain. All right, we'll stop over here. There's no shir next week. And the truth is, just pay attention to the schedule after Yom Tov also, because it'll be a little bit sporadic. But no shir next week, we'll go to the Yom Tov after Shavuos. Yes.